Hey, it's Lauren. Thank you so much for listening to The Afterlife. Enjoy the episode. This episode has been sponsored by my business, Lauren Grace Inspirations. I'm a business and life mentor, a workshop facilitator, a soul-led entrepreneur, and host of The Afterlife podcast. I'm passionate about supporting people like you through transformative courses, mentorship, and trainings so that you can live the life that you choose. I love all things time management and helping the people that I work with to master their mindset. I truly believe that life is a precious gift, and when we can learn to be at one with our thoughts, when we can learn to love ourselves, control and master our time, we really can live an extraordinary life. I have a whole bunch of free offers on my website, and I strongly encourage you to go and check them out. I'd love to keep in touch with you. You can find me over at Lauren Grace Inspirations on all the socials, as well as laurengraceinspirations.com. And I strongly encourage you to sign up for my newsletter. 2 times a month, at least, I send a positive newsletter that's all about helping you to live the best life possible. I always include a card of the day, a business or a strategy tip, and I also include a spiritual lesson. I would love to have you join me, and I'd love to join you on your journey. Thank you and enjoy the episode. Hey, it's Lauren Grace here. Welcome to the show. So I'm joined in this episode by my dear friend Candace Planch, and we have been catching up every month on Facebook and on YouTube and going live and discussing different subjects. And so today we are talking about our favorite spiritual books. If you are a reader, I would highly recommend you get your pen and paper ready. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to the Light Hour. I'm Lauren Grace.
And I'm Candace Planch.
And you got your intro there right away, girl.
Actually, that was awesome. I was awake. I'm impressed with myself.
This is progress. And we'd like to welcome you to the Light Hour. So we are two friends, two spiritual teachers, and we love to connect every month to talk about different subjects, some of the things that we want to share with you at home. And so today we're going to be talking about our top 10 spiritual books and some of the lessons from within them. I would imagine this show is going to go for a little longer than an hour. I will say, if you are listening at home, please feel free to leave your favorite books in the chat and also answer any questions or comments when we also share ours. So just before we kick things off, Candace is going to start us off with that. It's always nice to let our listener know a little bit about who we are, what we do. Before we get to that, Candace, though, I think maybe we should kind of tell the listener that we don't share information before we get on live here. Did you want to talk about that for a moment?
No, we don't. So we always come up with a topic to start with, and then we go away and we will literally learn almost exactly the same time as you do what each other's, you know, lists or tops are. And so especially for the books, I think today's we're doing the 10 books. And because I know a little bit about Lauren, so as I was going through my books as well, I was sort of like putting some aside going, oh, I know Lauren's going to mention that. So I kind of cheated, but that could backfire for both of us. I think we both probably did this because we kind of know a little bit about some of the books that we've both probably mentioned a few times before. So it's always more fun for us to not know. That way, sometimes, you know, our tips or our books or our suggestions actually end up, you know, overlapping or being completely different, and we're not influenced by each other. So I think it's just a bit more fun.
Super fun. I think it's super fun. And I really had a hard time with this, I've got to say. I don't know how you approached it, but I actually, maybe we can talk about that. Let's introduce ourselves. So why don't you share a little bit about yourself and
So I'm Candace Planch. I am a Reiki master and a crystal healing master, a theta healing practitioner, and I have a healing space in Bacchus Marsh in Victoria in Australia called Larimer Light Healing. So I specialize in helping people with anxiety and depression predominantly, and energetic property clearing. So that's one thing that I absolutely love to do, is just clear out people's spaces energetically, and help them fulfill whatever it is they want to step into in life. So that's me.
Beautiful. That's wonderful. And I've put a link to connect as well with Candace there in the comments section. And my name is Lauren Grace, and I am a business and life mentor, and I help soul-led entrepreneurs to master their mindset through my online challenge, which is 21 days to a more confident you. Master your mindset, 21 days to a more confident you. And I'm really passionate about helping people to find their own inner power and to really learn to trust themselves and learn to listen to their intuition and their own internal guidance. And that's really a big part about why I think I'm here on earth. And I feel that I demonstrate this through my online courses as well as through my podcast, which is the After Light, all one word, LIGHT. And that's how Candace and I met in a spiritual development group. And then I've had her on my show before, and we just realized that we're just meant to be friends. And so here we are.
Two ways about it. We were going to connect in some.
Exactly. We were like, wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. Have I met you before?
Yeah, definitely.
So very good. Okay. So I thought we would kick things off. I'll do a one card reading for our listener at home. So we like starting things off like that. And so I'm just going to shuffle the deck. I chose the Enchanted Map Oracle by Colette Baron-Reed. Do you have that one? My nails are dirty because I've just been in the yard. You do? Yeah, it's a goodie. It's funny because I feel like right now there's like transitions that are happening for lots of people. And I like to use the map deck because I think the map deck is a lot about new ideas, new beginnings, new journeys, taking us into a new direction, new perspective, that sort of thing. I really think it's a lot about getting out there and experiencing life and trying new things. So let's see what the card is. So today's card, beautiful card. It's called Coming to Life. And I love that. And we see there's sort of an emergence here happening with this woman on the card. She's holding up a really beautiful, powerful light. She's kind of looking down. And initially, the bottom of her body is really grayed out and really beige. And it looks as though she's kind of coming out of her shell, and she's really emerging into color and form and movement and really becoming who she was. And as she looks down, she has her hand up in the air, and she's holding this crystal ball. And this crystal ball is filled with light. And that light is like this guiding light, taking her to the next direction, showing her the way. But because of her fluidity, they're showing that there's a lot of flexibility within the situation, but also she stands very stoic and proud. So it's as though she's like really ready for this new step, really ready for this next new adventure. And we also see a butterfly here. So the butterfly is all about transition. And the word on it is, or this phrase on it is, coming to life. And it's also card number 29. And 2 + 9 is 11. And 11 is a master number, which is all about new beginnings, new start, new direction, new ideas. But there's a lot of energy and a lot of momentum around that and behind that. The other thing too is, I mean, we often hear about 11-11, you know, checking in with spirit, angels being with you. Although I always say 4-4 is angels, but 11-11 for a lot of people, or 11 is like a really powerful number as well. So it's really a lot about carrying that momentum forward and moving forward and just allowing your intuition to guide you while you are flexible and stoic within this new journey and transformation. So that's that.
Beautiful.
All right. Do you want to start us off? And I want to know, I mean, how hard was this for you? How did you go about choosing these books?
Yeah. So this was crazy hard. I decided that I was only going to go with books that I physically had copies of. And I think you may have gone, because I've noticed a little stack of books next to you as well.
Yeah, I did that.
Which made it harder because I have almost like a rotation of books that I loan out to clients. So it was interesting. I literally went with, okay, universe, if I don't physically have a copy of this book in my hand, then it's not going on the list. So there are some books that I absolutely adore that won't be on this list because of that reason. But I felt that kind of made way for some that maybe I had, you know, like would have put on the list or overlooked. So there's a reason for everything, and I'm just going to trust with this. And I'm kind of going sort of in chronological order, kind of, not really, but okay. I'm starting with a book that definitely changed my whole perspective on a lot of things. It was very, and I tried to not weed out anything that was, I guess, challenging or controversial. So I've kind of kept that in, because there were books that really challenged me. So I was trying to kind of go, okay, well, hold on. I wanted the books that really, really changed the way I think and that propelled me forward. So rather than just the books that made me feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And did you find when you were going through your list that you were kind of going, oh, there are going through books? Like I found books that I went, oh, I really want to read that again, you know?
Some of these books I haven't read for a very long time, so it was almost like maybe I need to, because I was, you know, I wanted to get a quote or something out of it, and I wasn't able to find quotes for all of them, because some of them just aren't quotey like kind that. Of quotes. So it was really, really tricky, and we could probably have done a top 20, but I don't think that would have been as effective. I did have honorable mentions, but I leave them to the side.
Yes, leave them to the side for today. We didn't cheat. We both have five.
We both have five.
Yeah. Now, I will say that. Go ahead. Say that again.
We're not going to try and sneak any more in.
No, okay. We're not.
You're not.
Right. Until we get to the end, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, so I did the same. I chose books that I had a physical copy of. I'll elaborate a little bit as I explain the books and why I chose, you know, each particular one. But I wanted to choose some that I felt were really significant on my spiritual journey. And a couple of them I actually swapped out at the last minute, because I went, nah, there are some other ones I really want to bring in that are maybe more significant now about where I'm going in my spiritual journey, or what have been really instrumental in my past, or in my recent past in a way. So, you know, as Candace and I are, we don't look it, but we're 40. I'm 41. I think you're the same age.
I'm 41. Yeah.
40. Yeah. So we have had a lot of life to experience different things. And so I think when we look at the spiritual books, some of them are almost not as significant to us, or at least for me now, as they were back then. So
Absolutely. Yes.
Some of them didn't make the cut. All right. Well, let's kick it off with you. So here we go.
So my very first one is probably the one that I was going to leave off the list. And it's called The Disappearance of the Universe by Gary Renard. And I don't even know if you've read this book.
I've never heard of it.
Okay. So it was going to get left off my list because it is very challenging. And I say challenging as is really will, it really challenges. It's a little bit controversial. So it is a channeled. So this gentleman, Gary, he basically was visited by angels or guides. And it came very out of the blue. And this is kind of his recount over years of them visiting him and kind of explaining to him the universe, or I guess the illusion. So this book was really my first. So I picked up this book. I was going through the worst part of my life. I had depression, severe anxiety, was struggling so much. And I started working with crystals and things like that, and I went into this really alternative shop, and this very interesting gentleman started talking to me, and he recommended this book. And I was like, okay. And so when I started reading it, and I have to say, one thing I want to say, and I'm sure you will totally agree with me, Lauren, is that I do not agree 1,000% or 100% or even 90% with everything that's written in these books. So when I read a book, yes. So we didn't write these books. This is not 1,000% our views. And I kind of, so this book here was one of those ones that challenged me in a way that I was like, no. And then I've read it a couple of times and I've taken more and more out of it. But this book really woke me up to, a lot of things that I felt about, so it kind of goes into the ego. It goes into the illusion of us creating everything. It goes into religion and how religion is used, manipulated, changed from, events that happened. So it's not completely, devoiding religions or anything like that, but it really brought around a whole heap of points that I had kind of felt about or noticed about, well, religions having so many different, icons, yet the foundation of most religions was the same. If you look at the core of a lot of religions were. So this book actually kind of leads off into A Course in Miracles. I don't know if you've heard of that book either.
Oh, yeah, I have that book.
So I haven't got A Course in Miracles on my list, but this was kind of like a leap into that whole world. And if you have not read A Course in Miracles or you haven't even heard of it, a lot of the authors that we're going to speak about today do credit A Course in Miracles. And it's really about controlling, understanding your mind, controlling the ego, understanding how our thoughts affect the world around us, how we're attracting everything into us, and how we are able to create miracles in our lives. And it's a 365-day course. It's like a page a day or a concept a day. And so this book really kind of brings a lot of those concepts in, and it's spoken about a lot in this. It's written in a very, very interesting way because a lot of it is like dialogue between him and these guides and them, downloading information, I guess, to him or explaining the universe and the concept of why we're here. So I highly recommend it, but do know that you are going to be challenged by it. And it is a thick book. So make sure you've got, I think it took me months to get through this, but it really woke me up. Like it really just changed the way I thought about things. It was the very first, I feel like it was the very first time I even grasped the concept of the ego. I hadn't even really thought about that as a thing. I just thought the ego was, oh, I look really nice today. that separation, I suppose. So yeah.
I'm trying to find on the Afterlight podcast, I interviewed this author named David Fishman. Mm-hmm. I can't find it right now. I was trying to search for it while you're talking. And he teaches A Course in Miracles. So we've got a few episodes on there on like the 12 principles. And I've also got another episode on all about The Course in Miracles and how to go through it. Mm-hmm. Because when I first started reading it at the very beginning, I went, what is this? I can't even. And he just says, skip that initially, just go to the lessons at the back of the book. So I thought that was a really helpful tip that he shared.
And
so
when I read A Course in Miracles as well, because look, we're going off slightly, but you can get companion books that go with it, like A Course in Miracles Made Easy. And it basically, so you read the first page. I don't know if I have one here. No, it's upstairs, unfortunately. You read the Course in Miracles page and then you can go and it kind of corresponds it over to actual life lessons now because it is
written. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so it kind of, it's a little bit like, it's like a little hand-holding to help you, especially the first time you go through it, because it can be pretty heavy. It's written in, interesting, dialogue, I suppose, interesting.
Yeah,
it's a bit more complicated than just picking up a regular self-help book.
Yes. Okay, cool. And all right, so I'll go now because we have lots to cover today and I think we're going to have many things to say. And welcome to our viewers and our listeners at home. If you have any books that you'd like to share, please put it in the comments or any questions. Candace and I are going through our top spiritual books and some of the lessons that we've learned from them. So my book is The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. And I've read this book a couple times now. And yeah, when I read it, it does talk a lot about the concept of the ego, but it talks a lot about the concept of surrendering the voice in the mind, hearing the voice in the mind, not identifying with the voice in the mind. And I feel that, and by the way, my books are in no particular order. I just randomly put them in order and that felt right. So when I read this book, I remember, number one, it was sort of, there's business in it too, which I really love about it because I love business as well. And it's talking a lot about his professional success as well as his personal success. But when I read this book, I felt that it really encouraged me to look for opportunities to surrender in my own life, look for opportunities to really go with the flow and trust the process a little bit more instead of hold on so tight, which I tend to do. And there was so much in it. So I'll just share a little excerpt from it because in the books that I found, I was able to find just a small little excerpt in each one. So this is from page 74. And it's the chapter called Acceptance, Acceptance, and More Acceptance. And it says, it was during the building of Sandy's cabin that I first started the ritual of offering my work up to the invisible force that was guiding me. I was not in charge, yet life continued to unfold as if it knew just what it was doing. I would serve that force. Call it what you want, God, Christ, Spirit. These were no longer just names of something to believe in. The events that were pulling me through life were tangible and real to me. Inwardly, I began to offer everything I did up to the universal force. All I wanted was to return home to that beautiful place deep inside of me. If following the invisible hand of life would take me there, so be it. And I love that. And I feel like it's really apropos because recently I interviewed someone on the show and we were talking a lot about how when we don't hand over situations to the universe, spirit, God, insert whatever you want, that it's because on some level we don't trust. And even as I say that, makes me feel emotional, actually, because I think that's a big part of it is almost that our human side, our ego side wants to come in and wants to say, you know what, I think I know better. Or if I don't control and hold everything really tight, then my world's going to fall apart or things aren't going to work the way that I want them to. And this book was so much about flowing with life and seeing that things happen when they're divinely ordered, but also for a reason, and how sometimes something that seems like it's so shitty can really lead to something that is so magical and beyond your wildest dreams. And I'm just getting covered in goosebumps. And I think that that's what this book does for me. So have you read this book?
I haven't read this book.
Oh, no. Girl. Add it to the list.
It's on my like Kindle to buy list. But I haven't gotten to that one yet. But there's a reason.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
You're next. What's your next book?
My next book is The Power of Awakening by the beautiful Dr. Wayne Dyer. Yeah. I mean,
I've never read that book.
You haven't read this one. Okay. No. Well, I've read most of his books, and look, I can't say that this is absolutely my favorite. It's one of my favorites for sure. It's not that it's not my favorite. I don't want to say that at all. It's that most of Wayne Dyer's books, I love listening to it in audio form. I find his voice is just
me
like,
too.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So most of his books I have in audio form. So I have, yes, I have about five of his books in paper copy. A few of them are out on loan with clients. But I love this one. This is probably the first one that I physically bought. And Wayne Dyer's teachings just have this beautiful, they're just so practical. Don't you feel that? Like, I just find I could listen to his stuff all day. He's just makes you take accountability, but in the most beautiful, kind way that doesn't make you feel like you're getting kicked up the bum, even though you kind of are. He really makes do you agree? He makes you take accountability for yourself, but he doesn't make you feel like he's making you take accountability for yourself. So
make you feel like there's anything wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And he clearly lays things out, doesn't he? Like there's no confusion about what he's talking about.
Yeah. And I feel like that's why I have so many of his books, because they all have, like, you are going to learn the basics of getting in touch with yourself and kind of taking control of your ego, taking control of what you put out there so that you manifest what you want back, and taking control of the fact that, you know, I mean, Wayne Dyer is very big on everything that we have is manifested from ourselves. So when we're sad, like when we're in a really bad situation, it's come from our thinking. It's come from our mindset. A lot of the times these things are to teach us something incredible and so that our soul can grow. But when we continue to stay in the, I'm going to say mud for lack of a nicer term, but when we continue to stay stuck in the mud in our lives, then that's, you know, then that's our choice in a way. But he doesn't make you feel like, you know, you need to be scolded for this. It's, he puts it in ways and very, very practical ways. So I do want to read, so The Power of Awakening is really, it's like a next step up from some of his books in a way, because it's really about once you've got a little bit of a foundation of, you know, I guess controlling your thoughts, this is sort of what to expect as you start to wake up and taking a bit more responsibility for your thoughts as you start to wake up to all the possibilities. But I'm going to read this little one. So this is from the chapter Discover the Three Keys to Higher Awareness, and it's on page 72. The inner dialogue is nothing more than your inventory of beliefs, which have been handed to you from well-meaning people all your life and are loaded with doubt. It is a constant reiteration of all these things that have been handed to you that keep you from reaching a sense of purpose or from knowing your higher self. It is the ego at work. And he goes into more about the ego, but I just find that whenever he explains anything like that, I go, and as much as it makes you take accountability, it kind of does make you realize that it's not just you. Like everybody's going through it. It's not, so I could talk all day, Wayne Dyer, love.
I love that. And I agree with you about the audio. I have Empower You Radio, which I always talk about. It's the best investment ever. And there are so many immersive trainings that he's got on there, hours and hours and hours of his stuff. And like you were saying, Candace, there's something about him. Even, I don't know if this happens to you, but if I read something he's written, I can hear him narrating it in my mind.
Yes, I can. So cool. I listen to enough things. It's like, I sit down with my book and Wayne's just in my background, like,
love that. Yeah, it's so cool. I'm really glad you brought him. He's one of the most profound spiritual teachers in my life, for sure. It's just very difficult to choose five. And like you said, we're going with hard copies that we have. So, okay, so this is the next one, Many Lives, Many Masters by Brian L. Weiss. Have you read this?
I have not.
Okay, so this is good for you and me. I don't know about you, but I'm writing my list down.
Exactly.
Okay, so this book, I would have read it, I'm thinking, in my late teens, probably when I was 17, 18 or something like that. And I was starting my spiritual journey. And I think my mom was the one who introduced me to this book. But the whole idea, it says at the front of it, it says, the true story of a prominent psychiatrist, his young patient, and the past life therapy that changed both their lives. So the whole premise of the book is basically this psychiatrist, and he's very pragmatic. He's not spiritual. He's, you know, really by the books, scientific, all that kind of stuff. Insert whatever words you want there. And he has this patient, and he kind of illustrates her as being really beautiful and really accomplished and all these sort of things, but she has insane anxiety, can't go out into like all of these issues, all of these traumatic things that are like she's afraid of so many things. She's really wants to stay at home a lot, that kind of thing, right? All these ailments. And anyway, so he's a hypnotherapist. So he does hypnotherapist sessions with her, but at a certain point, she starts to relive past lives. And every time she relives a past life and dies in that life, that the way that she dies, that issue is resolved in her current life. So for example, in one of her lives, she drowned. After reliving that and dealing with that, then her fear of water in real life has subsided and gone away. One of the things that was really interesting in the books as well is the characters, so the roles of the people in her life today showing up as different people and characters in her past lives. So where someone might be a friend or a teacher in this life now might have been a parent in a past life, for example. So it's the stories of all of these different incarnations. And I think she had upwards of 80 or something like that. And it was just, it's an incredible book. And at a certain point, and this is sort of giving it away, but I need to set up what I'm going to read. What happens is after she dies, she doesn't come out of the session right away, right? She's sort of still in the hypnosis state, theta state possibly. Anyway, she's in that state. And, all of a sudden she starts channeling information for Brian, the teacher. And Brian's gone on to now be really active in Hay House, and he's got past life deck. I think he did a during virtue and all that sort of stuff. I think I have it somewhere here. Anyway, so there's these messages that start to come through from the masters. And these messages are very profound, and they start to happen at the end of some of these life experiences. So I'll read from one of these. And this is page 185. And it's been years since I've read this book. So I allowed spirit to guide me. I don't know about you, Candace, how you did it, but I just kind of flipped through a few things of the books that were in this current. And so this says, and this is a little bit long, sorry, I'll do my best to read this quickly, but it is on this plane that some souls are allowed to manifest themselves to the people who are still in physical form. They are allowed to come back, only if they have left some agreement unfulfilled. On this plane, intercommunication is allowed, but the other planes, this is where you're allowed to use your psychic abilities and communicate with people in physical form. There are many ways to do this. Some are allowed the power of sight and can show themselves to the people still in physical form. Others have the power of movement and are allowed to telepathically move objects. You only go to this plane if it is useful for you to go there. If you have left an agreement that has not been fulfilled, you may choose to go here and communicate in some way, but that is all. To which the agreement must be fulfilled. If your life has been abruptly ended, this would be a reason for you to go to this plane. Many people choose to come here because they are allowed to see those who are still in physical form and very close to them, but not everyone chooses to have communication with these. To some people, it may be too frightening. Catherine fell silent and seemed to be resting. And then she began to whisper very softly. And this is really the part I wanted to read. I see the light. Does the light give you energy? I asked. It's like starting over. It's a rebirth. How can people in physical form feel this energy? How can they tap into it and be recharged? By their minds, she said softly. But how do they reach this state? They must be in a very relaxed state. You can renew through light, through the light. You must be very relaxed so you no longer are expending energy, but you are renewing yours. When you sleep, you get renewed. And so I love that. I know at the beginning, I guess, in hindsight, I probably wouldn't have read that whole part about the different planes, but it just talks about the different stages of life and when you die and the different, all the different stuff that's going on, which is just so cool. But I loved, and I really wanted to drive home the whole idea of being renewed through the light. And I think that we forget that we are these souls of the light in a human body
and that we have the power to shapeshift and heal and transmute energy. And so there's this man that I listened to, Dick Sutphin, S-U-T-P-H-E-N, on Empower You Radio. He's passed now. He's a hypnotherapist. He's got some profound meditations on there. And one of them is you actually become the light. So you go into a hypnosis sort of state, then you ascend, and then you actually go up and you merge and you become one with the light. And I remember I did it the first time. I've done it since a few times. But you actually can look down and there's nothing there. You are just one with the light. And so it's just a gentle reminder that if you're wanting to rejuvenate or heal, to come back, to meditate, to bring in that light. Marianne Williamson has an amazing meditation. I'll put a link to it now when Candace, you're speaking, where it's only 8 minutes, but you essentially have an angel pour light in through the crown of your head and go all through your body, and you become one with the light. So yeah.
Beautiful. Amazing. Amazing. I have not read that, but I've just written it down. It's on my list. It's now on my new list.
Yeah, it's really, really beautiful, really, really powerful. All right, your turn, Queen.
Okay, so the next one is, it's called The Happiest Man.
Oh, what a fabulous cover.
Yeah. So this is actually like a memoir. And I did put this in. I don't know. Have you read this, Lauren?
No.
Okay. So
who's the author?
His name is Eddie Jaku.
Oh, right. Yeah.
J-A-K-U. Okay. So I read this book. I was about halfway through my healing journey. I say halfway through. And how can you say that? I was starting to realize that I had to take ownership for my own, like, where I was, I suppose. And then this book came into my radar, and it came into my radar because my husband had seen him on some, I don't know, interview or something like that. And so Eddie Jaku was in the Holocaust. Oh, and he moved to Australia after he escaped all of this to start a new life. But this book, he was 100 years old when he wrote this book, and he did, he has passed now, very, very sadly. But he witnessed things during that time that were horrific. His entire family was murdered during the Holocaust, and he credits his survival to choosing to be happy. So he went on to have a family, and he lived every day of his life just with gratitude and forgiveness. Like, he forgave, just chose to forgive everybody who had done wrong. He decided not to relive everything and to live his life, poor me, and you'll cry. His words are just so empowering. But I do want to read just the foreword, because I think of the prologue. So I think it's just, this will just set the tone, and you'll all want to go out and buy this book, because it's absolute. And every chapter is just started with a beautiful little quote that just, it's beautiful. It's a recount of everything that happened and why he chose to just see himself as the happiest man on earth. So he says, "My dear new friend, I have lived for a century and I know what it is to stare evil in the face. I have seen the very worst of mankind, the horror of the death camps, the Nazi efforts to exterminate my life and the lives of all my people. And I now consider myself the happiest man on earth. Through all my years, I have learned this. Life can be beautiful if you make it beautiful. I will tell you my stories. It is a sad one in parts, with great darkness and great sorrow. But it is a happy story in the end, because happiness is something we choose. It is up to you, and I will show you how.
And oh, I want to cry because he's
beautiful, so just
beautiful. There's, you know, there's no steps, there's no anything in this that you just read his story and there is no way you can't be touched to go, why am I holding on to so much? Mm. You know, why am I choosing time and time again to just feel when someone like this can get up every day and smile and forgive and be happy and choose to be happy? And, you know, we all have that choice. So this book had to make the list. It didn't, it was just, you know, it's not your typical spiritual book, but this, yeah, when, you know, and this was in my linen press. It wasn't even on my bookshelf. I think someone had read it and just put it back in the linen press. And I was going to get something and I was like, oh my gosh, this book has to be on the list. So yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so good. And I love the choosing, you know, and I think that brings us into the next book, which obviously had to make this up, make it for me, my main man, Eckhart Tolle.
I knew this is why.
A New Earth. I was like going to put A Power of Now in, and I thought out of the two, I actually love the New Earth more. So although I do think you should start with The Power of Now, but you know, Eckhart Tolle's whole principle is a lot about being here in the now moment. He doesn't tell anyone what to do or how to live. What I love about his teachings is he explains that we don't have to believe everything that we think and that we can in fact learn to think and not to think. So he chooses when to think versus thinking happening to him, which is so often what happens to all of us, right? We have this narrative running in our mind all the time. And he wants you to understand that the ego is essentially creating suffering for you. And he talks about the pain body as well, which is creating suffering, addicted to fear, addicted to worry, addicted to drama, all these sort of things, but that we can choose a different way. And so that's such a perfect segue from the happiest man on earth and understanding that he is the upper, like the ability to choose a different way of looking at life. And so that this, A New Earth, I've talked about it many times before, but I quit spirituality for, you know, 4 or 5 years, a couple years ago. And all I read was Eckhart Tolle's teachings, The Power of Now, because I realized that I have a tendency to spiral a lot about worrying about the future or the past, very often about the future. I like to want to control things. So that's why all these books are really significant for me, because they really highlight the things that I'm wanting to nurture and remove from myself, I suppose, loving to change, or whatever word I should probably say there. And so A New Earth, I feel, saved me in a lot of ways. And Eckhart Tolle and Oprah Winfrey, they did a YouTube series in 2008, where they went through every chapter of this book, and they essentially, it was like a masterclass on this book. So every hour or every show would be an hour on a particular chapter. And so usual, like people like you and me would call in and ask questions and get clarifying information. So I think that if someone at home is going to read this book, that would be a really cool way of doing it, would be to read the chapter, find the Eckhart Tolle and Oprah Winfrey teachings, which you can get online. Just type in A New Earth. Even on Eckhart Tolle's podcast, the first 10 episodes are that series. So read chapter one, listen to the hour, read chapter two, listen to the hour. I think it would be a really cool way of doing it. So I'll read a little excerpt from this, and I will say that, you know, as I look through this book, I have so much that's highlighted and written in over and over again. And, you know, even as I'm going through this yesterday, I went, oh, I got to start reading this again. So I think I'll probably do the Oprah Eckhart kind of thing, because I actually haven't taken it in that way. I very often have just listened to that audio multiple times. Anyway, okay. So here we go. To end the misery, this is on page 116, and it's the chapter Role Playing, the Many Faces of the Ego. To end the misery that has afflicted the human condition for thousands of years, you have to start with yourself
and take responsibility for your inner state at any given moment. That means now. Ask yourself, is there negativity in me in this moment? Then become alert, attentive to your thoughts as well as your emotions. Watch out for the low-level unhappiness in whatever form that I mentioned earlier, such as discontentment, nervousness, being fed up, and so on. Watch out for thoughts that appear to justify or explain this unhappiness, but in reality cause it. The moment you become aware of a negative state within yourself, it does not mean you have failed. It means that you have succeeded. Until that awareness happens, there is identification with inner states, and such identification is ego. With awareness comes disidentification from thoughts, emotions, and reactions. This is not to be confused with denial. The thoughts, emotions, or reactions are recognized, and in the moment of recognizing, disidentification happens automatically. Your sense of self, of who you are, then undergoes a shift. Before, you were the thoughts, emotions, and reactions. And now, you are the awareness, the conscious presence that witnesses those states. And I wrote, amen, at the end of that. So I love that. It's a lot about taking responsibility again for your life. It's about understanding the role that the ego plays to hold you down and keep you down and make you scared and small and afraid. It talks about ego being superiority, inferiority. It talks a lot about how we want to deny the present because we have this thing built within us that basically says that the future moment must be more important. When I attain this, or this happens, or this changes, that's when I'll be happy. But it also talks about how if that hadn't happened to me in the past, I would be at peace now. Or if this had happened to me, if this happens to me, I'll be at peace. Or if this wasn't happening, I'll be at peace. So it's a lot about understanding how none of that actually matters. What matters is the here and the now moment where you are conscious and where you are aware. Yeah. And you've read that book.
I have read that book. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And I resonate with that totally, because one of the main things I took out of a lot of his books was that, yeah, we do live so much in the future. And that as soon as you get that thing, you are just going to replace it with something else. So there's that longing, that needing, that I'll be happy when will never, ever go away unless you realize that all that chatter that's going on in your head isn't who you are.
And nothing outside of you will ever complete you.
No.
Ever. Because everything outside of you can always be taken away.
Yes. And when you're coming from a place of fear, that's what's going to happen. You know, like that's what we're going to manifest towards us, because when that fear comes in, fear is so powerful that it just attracts situations that will take it away and will make that happiness further away. So, yeah, I do love, I knew you were going to add that. So I was like, I'm going to not put him in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So come back to your breath, come back to the awareness, focus on what you can hear, smell, your inner body. Those are all ways of really helping you to be in the here and the now moment. And, you know, what's really cool is we can dissolve fear in an instant. The minute we go, oh, I'm really being fearful right now. Oh, I'm really feeling anxiety right now. You go, okay, you're aware now. You're not that emotion or those thinkings. You're the awareness behind that. Okay, sister, next.
Next. Okay. So my next is a Gabby Bernstein book, and it's Judgment Detox. Now, this was an interesting one. So I knew I wanted a Gabby Bernstein book on my list.
She's so good.
This one here was a really, really interesting one, because this was not a book that kind of went down easy. And it's not her most popular book. If anything, I think it's her least popular book. And reflecting on it, especially recently when I was doing this, it's because it challenges you. It's going to challenge you a lot, and it's exactly what you need, what most people need. So a lot of Gabrielle Bernstein's books are, you know, the power is within you, and very, you know, beautiful steps, and almost, you know, they build you up in this beautiful way. And this book is no different in a way. Like, it is going to build you up, but it's really, really highlights. Like, I've never found, I have not found a book that actually targets so much of what most of our problems stem from. So a lot of our roadblocks are created by judgment, and we live in this society where we're programmed from a really, really young age to judge. We put labels on everything and everyone. And the first thing when we look at someone, we're analyzing, you know, personal or physical appearance. It's like the first thing we see, the first thing our brain does, we analyze, and then we make judgments on people based on that. We make judgments on people based on their voice. And it's a way that our brain analyzes everything, and it keeps us safe. But there's so much wrong with that, that we block so much out of our lives from all these judgments we make about ourselves, we make about society, we make about everything else. And I feel like, and especially for myself, I ended up putting judgment and blame on, especially early on in my spirituality journey, judgment and blame on everyone else as a way to avoid just dealing with my own stuff. So this is a hard pill to swallow when you're in it, but it's a pill that I'm really going to encourage you to swallow. It's not, you know, it's maybe not going to make you feel so fluffy first thing, you know, first up, but, you know, she has some great exercises. She has some beautiful meditations and some amazing, like, just affirmations and mantras that you can use just to start becoming aware. And if nothing else, you are going to start noticing how much judgment you put out there, just so you can take accountability for it. Because, it really is a great book, and I don't think it got anywhere near as much hype. I think it just challenged people, and they just went, this isn't the happy right. everything.
This isn't super attractor.
Exactly. And that was, you know, that sat on my bedside table going, because it is, you know, you can't have an affirmation cards based on this book, because it's like constantly making you take accountability. So I just want to read, so this is on page 51, and it's called Honor the Wound. It can be scary and disorientating to let go of judgment because it's a pattern we've grown to rely on. In some ways, releasing judgment can feel like letting go of a friend who deep down you know is not good for you. Even though your heart tells you it's time to move on, you feel a sense of sadness and loss. Underneath every judgment is a core wound. So I'm not going to, like, it. She just goes on to explain so much about where our judgment comes from, but I really encourage everyone that today take notice of where your mind just automatically goes to. And it doesn't even have to be out of, you know, negative judgment, but everything we do, we can look at a meal. We look at someone's picture on Instagram of, like, the meal they snapped, and we're like, that doesn't look appealing. And we just instantly judge whether we're going to like the look of something, whether we're going to like the taste of something, whether that's what we mean. It's like this, we're just pre-wired, it's instant. And as soon as you start taking notice of that, I did notice a massive change in my compassion, in my understanding. I'm not saying that it doesn't, you know, autopilot doesn't click in sometimes, but it definitely made a big impression on me, this book. And
I'd love to read it. I haven't read it, but I love Gabby, and I love the fact that Gabby, she shares her own stories. So in that book, I know she would share her own stories of judgments and things like that. And so I feel that she doesn't have this holier than now attitude. She kind of goes, hey, these are examples of where I've acted out of judgment or, you know, in all of her books. This is where I've acted in a way I wish I didn't act, or, you know, and I love that because it makes me feel a little bit more heard by her, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's excellent. Okay. My next book, and this is probably not going to surprise you, is Ask and It Is Given by...
I knew this. Absolutely.
You knew?
Yeah. Yeah. I knew this was... This is why it's not on my list. Because I knew it would be on your list. I was safe.
This is the book, Ask and It Is Given. Shout out to my sister, Elsie Lake, who gave me this. So... And the foreword by Dr. Wayne Dyer. There you go. I didn't even realize that. I will say I haven't read this whole thing because I've listened to the audio. So, but I have read enough of it that there are still markings all throughout it. I love Esther and Jerry Hicks's work so much. I have listened to hundreds, I would say probably at least 100 hours of their trainings because I listen on Empower You Radio and they have so many immersive trainings, including like 14 hours of trainings on different subjects. It's absolutely amazing. Now, if I had all of their physical books here, I may not have chosen this one. I probably would have chosen The Power of Your Emotions, let's say. But this is a really powerful book because the concepts within this book, I feel, are key with understanding how we're co-creating with Source all the time. And I love that when Esther speaks and channels, that she doesn't beat around the bush. She tells you how, like it is. And there is humor in there and wit and clarity. And so I'll choose to read a little section here from page 81. And it's chapter 16, You Are Co-Creating Within a Magically Diverse Universe. And so it just says, if you have the ability to imagine it or even think about it, this universe has the ability and the resources to deliver it fully unto you. For this universe is like a well-stocked kitchen with every ingredient imaginable at your disposal. And within every particle of this universe is that which is wanted and the lack of it. This perspective of abundance and the lack of it is the environment in which focus is possible, and focus activates the law of attraction. If you do not have the ability to know what you want, you will not have the ability to know what you do not want. And without the ability to know what you do not want, you could not know what you do want. And so it is through your exposure to life experience that your natural preferences are born. In fact, these preferences are exuding you. In fact, these preferences are exuding from you in all moments of every day at many levels of your being. Even the cells of your well-tended to body are having their own experience and are emanating their own preferences. And every preference is recognized by Source and immediately answered with no question. And so what this is really talking a lot about it, and I will say I had a really hard time choosing what section to even share with you because there are so many gems in here that I'm like, even as I read that, I go, was that the right one? But it was the right one because what it's really allowing you to understand is that when we know what we don't want, we know what we do want. And sometimes we think we know what we want, or we feel we know what we want. And then when we get it, we go, that's not actually what I want. This is what I want instead. And it's just understanding that everything that we're putting out there is emanating this frequency and bringing towards us what we're calling forth. And so sometimes when we have difficult experiences, those are opportunities for us to go, oh, wait a minute. I don't like this at all. This is what I would prefer instead. And focusing on that idea of going, oh, wow, I'm so grateful that this has happened in this way because I know this is not at all what I want. And so shifting challenges into understanding a bit more about how you wouldn't know what you didn't want if you didn't experience it in a way, right? There's that whole idea of why do we come to Earth? Why are we light beings that come to Earth, you know? And it's because if we were living in the light all the time, how would we know we were in the light unless we experienced something else? And so when we experience other things, it's to show us, okay, well, that's not what I want, but I didn't really know until I experienced that. So one of the things too I wanted to share earlier is this podcast episode, and I'll just put a link to it here, with this guy named Mark Anthony, and he's the Theta Healer. And in the conversation we had, we talked a lot about how the things that happen to us in our lives are showing us things that need to be healed. And so I feel that that sort of matches a little bit of this whole idea, which is that when things keep coming up, it's because there's something we're emanating out there that's saying, draw this towards me, this thing I do not want. And so when we are starting to become aware and conscientious of, you know, our thoughts and our ability, you know, to choose to trust the universe and things like that, that's when we can really start to get those momentum, those momentous shifts. And I had a real aha moment in that conversation I had with Mark, because I tend to be somebody who sometimes feels sorry for myself if something's not happening the way I want it, or more of a victim mentality, right? Instead of remembering, wait a minute, I'm choosing to feel sad about this situation where I could see the light. And that just takes an adjustment, a mental adjustment. But I know that it's my nature to worry about things, right? So I have to do a lot of this sort of practice to really deprogram a lot of that mindset or that kind of initial reaction, I suppose. So yeah, so this is an excellent book. There's so many tips and tricks as well in it on how to manifest things that you want in your life, different exercises that you can do. It's a really, really profound, really powerful book. And you've read it, I'm sure?
I've read that one. I do have a physical copy of that one, although I couldn't find it when I was looking around my books, which was interesting. I've to a lot of their stuff on Empower You as well.
Yeah.
I will say, if the first account you have with Esther and Jerry Hicks is via audiobook, don't be thrown if you listen to one of the early recordings. I don't know if you found this, Lauren, but the very first book, and I don't know which book it was, but the very first book I listened to, it felt like Esther was constantly yelling at me. She gets very passionate and in the channeling, and I think she may have been actually channeling at the time, because some of the audiobooks that they brought out, you can tell her voice is different. You can tell that she's reading, I guess, the transcript of a pre-channeled, but one of the I read, I believe it was when she was channeling at the time. And when she's channeling at the time, it can be very abrupt and sound very quite off-putting. So if it's your very first time listening to this, then if it sounds a bit abrupt, just move to a different one to start with, because the content is incredible. But yeah, sometimes when it's actually channeled, it can be quite, no, stop yelling at me.
That's a really good tip. Yeah. And actually that goes with really everything, isn't it? Because sometimes we're in a mood for something and the tone isn't right, or, you know, it's not the right time for us to hear that information or something like that.
Absolutely. But, especially if you're listening on an audiobook, please get like the sample to start with, because does not mean the book is not amazing, but there are some voices, like, again, it's that judgment thing. There's some voices that you just cannot, if it comes out like that, you cannot handle. And it's like, this is the best stuff in the world, but I'm going to reject all of it because it just does not resonate with me on a tone, on a frequency, on a sound wave frequency even. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting too, because Esther Hicks, like, the channel materials from Abraham, that's who she channels, an entity called Abraham, you know, they tell you really right fast that your life is your creation, like it or not. And, you know, and a lot of the things that you and I have been talking about today support all of that. There's that commonality throughout the whole thing, I think. And, you know, it can be really difficult to hear that sometimes.
Definitely. I mean, I don't think there's a book that isn't about accountability in any of the, you know, spiritual world, I suppose. So, yeah. Okay, so the next, my next book. Are we ready? My lucky last.
We're ready. You know, it's just really weird. There was like a thumb that just went thumb down on your...
I noticed that as well. I don't know where that came from.
I don't... super... weird.
That was really weird.
That was really weird. Okay, let's keep going. Who knows?
So my last book is definitely the... Mine weren't necessarily in order, but this is definitely my number one. So, and that's, I know that's a really big statement, but this book changed everything for me. And I think there's probably not a single one of my clients that hasn't heard about this book, because this book, yes, challenged me and will challenge a lot of people. It is The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. For those that are playing along, listening and not watching.
There, everyone's at the edge of their seat here. They're guessing.
What not books planned that way. It's just me being completely absent-minded sometimes. So The Untethered Soul is really bringing into Michael Singer speaks about us all having an inner roommate inside of our heads. And it is the constant chatter that goes on. And he really has this way, which will challenge a lot of people, because it challenged me the first time. And I've had a lot of people come back and go, can't listen to it. I'm like, well, can't read it. I'm like, read it again. Just take your time, work through it, read it again. Because the reason you'll be challenged by it is because your ego is trying to block what's coming through. And this work is so powerful. When you can control the inner voice that's in your head and really understand that it is not who you are, and that's really challenging, because as soon as you start to work through that, I don't know whether you've read this book, right, Lauren?
Oh, yeah, I've read it a few times. Yeah. Yep.
So when you start to work through this book and realize that the thoughts in your head and the constant chatter, and you start to be able to start controlling it and kind of calling it on its own BS and going, not me. Yep. Not paying attention to that now. It starts to get really challenging, because you start to go, well, hold on. If I'm not, and I think I found this in The Power of Now, in A New Earth, in a lot of these books, but this book probably really challenges it the most. You start to go, well, hold on, if I'm not the voice in my head and I'm not the thoughts that are going on, then who am I? And this is a real step in a whole new direction. And it really, really woke me up. One of the big things, I mean, I had debilitating anxiety and depression, PTSD. So I constantly had nonsense running through my head, fear-based nonsense running through my head. And now most of the time it's quiet, which is saying a lot, because it's like, for someone who used to constantly talk to themselves, or at least like that's what I thought I was doing in the head, or constantly have just chatter going on.
Yeah.
Really interesting. Like, I'll analyze things and I'll look at things and I'll be like, there's my phone. There's my this or there's my that. But when I'm conscious of it, I can literally make it go quiet now, and there to just be nothing. And so that was a really big step for me. And as soon as I was starting to able to control that, I was able to really control my anxiety, really start controlling and figuring out who I was, start seeing the world with real compassion, start, you know, helping people and letting go of judgment. So I wanted to read. Did I read yet? See, boy, his book.
No, I haven't read yet.
Me off on a tangent. See, it would help to have an inner roommate telling me what to do right now. But so I'm going to read just a little bit from chapter 2, and there's no page number on this. Okay, so I think, it's 15, page 15. And it's called Your Inner Roommate. Your inner growth is completely dependent on the realization that the only way to find peace and contentment is to stop thinking about yourself. You're ready to grow when you finally realize that the I who is always talking inside will never be content. It always has a problem with something. Honestly, when was the last time you had nothing bothering you? Before you had your current problem, there was a different problem. And if you're wise, you will realize that after that one's gone, there will be another one. The bottom line is you'll never be free of problems until you're free of the part within that has so many problems. So,
oh,
I know.
Everyone's like, preach.
Fuck. And it, like, I could read this whole book. We could just do that. Because this book is just, yes, it's challenging. And I have to say, I believe there is something in here that I don't 1,000% agree with. So I do always say to people, if something is challenging you in a way that is like challenging your morals, then that's okay. You're allowed to skip past that little part and whatever. But don't put down this book based on that one thing. I'm pretty sure it's at the end. I cannot even remember. It might be in a different book, but I have a feeling it was in this book. But if it's just making you feel uncomfortable and your brain is just constantly rejecting it, that is your ego saying, ha, ha, don't let go. Right?
Yeah.
I'm losing.
Don't continue. Don't continue. Yeah.
Put it down. Put it down. Go eat some cake and watch Netflix.
Yeah. Right? Do you know what? I actually recommend to people who, because I don't know about you, but when I it took me 3 attempts to get into The Power of Now with Eckhart Tolle. I couldn't do it. And I don't know how I still had that book over the years, but apparently I just kept taking it with me. And I find people who don't resonate with his work right away, because I really think you have to be kind of ready for it, because it's, I recommend The Untethered Soul, because I find The Untethered Soul is a little bit more commercial, not commercial, but simpler to understand, because Eckhart talks a lot about Jesus and, you know, I think almost wordier concepts kind of, and I feel like The Untethered Soul, and I love that excerpt you read. It's made me go, okay, gotta take that book down off the shelf at the end of this chat and have a look at it again. He really explains things in such a logical way that you can really connect to and you're not confused.
And this is definitely a book that I recommend you read, you know, I don't want to say annually, like initially you'll probably read it annually, but it's kind of that if you start to feel like you're losing grip, like you've read it a few times and you're just kind of losing grip, or things are not manifesting right, or you're just finding relationships are a bit, or things aren't going great at work or whatever, this will be the problem. The ego will have stepped back up and the inner roommate will be going, she's not supporting me anymore, you know? So really, the concepts in this book, and if you can grasp it, it's really amazing to be able to step forward and to realize that the thoughts are not you. And he explains why they're not you, and he explains how you can rationalize that in your brain by the wording that's used inside your brain, why it's not actually you. There is a way that he explains it that makes you go, oh, okay, I can get this.
I can see that's not me there. Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to reread it again.
Reread it, because I was like, okay, yep, this is a concept. Okay, yeah, okay, but yeah. I did, you know, I'm not believing it. If I'm not that, who am I? And why is that voice there? So, yeah, I love that.
Lucky well, last.
I would say, yes. You can get a Kindle copy rather than a regular copy, because the words are really small. That's one thing. And if you're reading in bed, which is what I usually do, then it can be a little bit like, oh yeah. I like big words when I'm reading. I like my Kindle because I can kind of like make it a bit bigger.
Oh, make it bigger. Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that.
And it also tells me how many minutes are in my chapter.
Yeah. Almost there. I actually heard a tip the other day that if you want to, like, when you're reading, it's really good if you can finish the chapter.
Yes.
Instead of drop mid-chapter. And I thought, that's really good. It's not something I do. But I appreciate trying that out, actually. It just, you know, sometimes you start going, you're going, oh, I'm really tired.
I know.
Do you read, do you finish the chapter before you put the book down?
Yeah, pretty much always, but only since, like, I always tried to do it when I was reading, which would mean like the physical books, but with my, I just got a Kindle. I'm very excited. I'm not sponsoring them, by the way. But
show us some money.
but I just find it's really, really helpful to be like, oh, it kind of, mine taps how long it takes for me to read a page. And it says you have 5 minutes left in this chapter or 3 minutes left in this chapter. So when I'm tired and I'm going, I can manage 3 more minutes. I can manage. And then I flip over and it's like, oh, 16 minutes. I'm like, not going to happen. So I don't even delve into that next chapter.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. I didn't know Kindle did that. Yeah. Okay. My last one. I needed to bring up Stuart Wilde because he's, you know, one of my other amazing teachers. He's passed. He's a British guy. He's a, I don't know what they say about him, but he's an author and lecturer, is one of the real characters of the self-help human potential movement. His style is humorous, controversial, poignant, and transformational. He's written over 11 books at the time that this one was published. So I've read almost all his books, or listened to them actually, which includes The Force, Miracles, The Trick to Having Money is Having Some, lots of his immersive trainings. This book is called The Infinite Self. Actually, there's 11 books there, so I think I have some I've got to catch up on now that I'm saying that aloud. So I haven't read this book. I listened to the audio a couple times, and then I found it in a bookstore, and I went, oh, I also need this book. I need to have a copy of this. And I have learned recently by Alex Hormozi, a business teacher. He said that if you listen to the book and you read it at the same time, it actually helps you to retain the information a lot better, and it gets stored in different parts of your brain, which helps with recall. So that might be actually something that I try with this book. But this is called The Infinite Self, and it's 33 Steps to Reclaiming Your Inner Power. And he talks a lot about how we have this force within us. And this force within us is this power. It's the creator. It's the soul, right? And he talks a lot about how to use it to live this incredible life. And so there are 33 tips in this book, and he goes through each different tip and he gives you practical advice. And I've got to say, I've mostly listened to him speak, and he's so funny, and he says things in such a way that I almost wouldn't imagine reading his books over listening to him. The two together, I think, would be brilliant because he's so cheeky. And he says, "All right, you mate." You know, like he does things like that. And I can see here in the quote I'm going to read to you now that when you listen to him say it, it has a totally different kind of vibe than just reading it, because it captures his personality, which is so cool. He also is incredibly talented, creative, intelligent, successful. You know, he talks about how he was a millionaire and he basically gave everything away, took 50K, went and traveled and quit everything he was doing. And he's just had such an interesting life. So I'll read a little bit for you from the page 149. And this is step 19. The power rises from within. Most of the power you have is internal. As you garner power, you can pull it to you all that you need. Rather than pushing to sell things, pushing to tell people about the product, service, or knowledge that you're selling, just allow them to come to you. It's so much easier when you allow life to come to you. In pushing, you tend to move things away from you. Let me explain it like this. You've had the experience when you've gone into a car lot to buy a car. That sleazy car salesman comes up and is trying really hard to stuff the car onto you, telling you how fantastic it is and how you can't live without it. You've already made up your mind to buy it, but the fact that he was leaning into you puts you off and you walk away. Be careful that you don't have that effect on other people, that you don't push and shove so hard that they deny you just because you're pushing. Once you understand that the energy within you is becoming more rarefied, once you understand that the power is there, you can visualize and feel the thing you need as part of your life, and you can take concerted action. So here's a fabulous part, and I think you'll appreciate this. If you want to heal a situation with a person, you don't necessarily have to tromp across town to talk to him or her. You can fix it on an inner plane. In meditation, you'd pull the person up in your mind. So mentally, he or she is standing in front of you. Say their name. Breathe it in. Hold it for a moment and exhale, projecting that energy and light towards the individual. Do it 11 times. As you breathe this person in and out, send love and healing to the situation. Next time you see the person, he or she will be different, or they will simply be gone from your life. And then he goes on to talk about a story of how he was dealing with a tax guy, and the tax guy was causing him stress and problems. And so him and his business partners got together and they did this exercise. And all of a sudden that guy ended up leaving or calling them for a different job and said he was leaving, and they got someone else on the case, and then the situation was resolved. And so I love, he's got a lot of really cool practical tips like that and things that you don't really hear of, you know, for example, shrinking someone down in your vision and then moving them away with love, or like blowing and then they fly away. And there are so many things that I've never heard in any teachings in all of the books that I've ever read that he covers in the things that he shares. He is just at a completely different world. For example, he says when you're meditating, he says when you meditate, imagine yourself shift to the right, because there's something about the plane that we want to be on that we have to shift to the right to access it. So different things like that, he will blow your mind. And Candace, you can listen to a lot of his stuff as well on Empower You Radio.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have not read that, so I'm definitely going to add that to my list.
His stuff is so good. I think you'll just listen to it and go, damn, this man is incredible. And he's funny. And he doesn't screw around. Like, he's a sharpshooter. And I love how he talks about how he's like, oh, I've met all the, you know, so many of the spiritual gurus out there. He basically talked about how he'd met basically everyone who was touring and on the circuit. And he goes, and some of them are really spiritual and the real deal, and some of them are not. And by the way, because I made me kind of wonder, oh, well, who's the real deal? You know, Deepak Chopra is on the back of his book. So I would imagine he's the real deal. And also one of his best mates, Wayne Dyer. So you know that he's the real deal too. So just a little bit, it's kind of interesting there to hear about. Because I was like, oh no, what about the people that I love and follow? Does he think they're the real deal? So anyway, he doesn't name names or anything like that. I'm just putting it all together. Well, what an awesome show. I think it's so funny how you and I were able to share books that neither of us had read before and that we both are putting on our own list. Is there anything that you wanted to share before we kind of wrap things up? Are you promoting anything at the moment? Any thoughts that you wanted to share on just today's content?
Well, I'm very excited that I reckon we probably will have to do this particular topic again with our honorable mentions, and because I do have honorable mentions, and I also feel that like every sort of 6 to 12 months, I have a shift and what I feel I need. Like, I really wanted to bring, there's so much going on at the moment, so I really wanted to bring, I guess, quite a few of my books were quite hard hitting, like they're going to challenge you. We're in grade. I feel like that was just the energy that was sort of needed. Everybody kind of needs that little bit of a kick. But yeah, I do feel like we'll probably do this again soon. The books, because I'm all about the book. And I loved it. I got books that I got to add to my list, which is exactly why we did this.
Yeah. And then hopefully our listener at home as well is like taking notes and writing down and going, okay, I'm ready for this.
And let us know what your lists are, because I always like to add to my list. Let us know what your favorites are, because we absolutely want to check them out. Always looking for new good content to read. So
yes, absolutely. And our next show, did you want to talk about that?
Our next show is May 8th, Wednesday, May 8th, and we are going to be, we're so excited. We are going to be sharing our favorite Oracle decks.
So I think we're going to pull a card from each one as well. So like mini readings.
Do a reading from each deck, and we're each going to bring our favorites. It will be very, very interesting to see if we have any crossovers. It is going to be harder than the book choices. Yes,
it's going to be very hard, at least on par.
A lot of decks. So, we'll definitely, I don't even know how I'm going to tackle this one yet, but we'll get there. We'll figure it out.
It's true. And certain decks are for certain times. So that's just going to be hard. You kind of have to think about all of that.
So I think it's going to be great to see which direction we go and where our energy's at, because I think it will definitely be very reflective of where our energy's at. So if you love Oracle decks, or you're even just, you know, stepping into the waters with them, or you've already got a ton, then stay tuned to hear what our favorites are.
And we'll give tips and tricks, I'm sure, as well, about how we read them and different things like that, how we choose them, what we do with them when they are old. So, Candace, how can people get a hold of you if they would like to work with you? And what are you doing for our international audience? We know you're based here in Australia, but for those who may want to connect with you online, do you do anything that's available online at the moment?
Yeah, so I do energetic property clearing. So clearing out negative energies, negative entities from your property, activating them and filling your property with light and whatever new intention you want. So I do those. You can reach out to me via either Instagram, Facebook, or via my website, which is laramalighthealing.com. And I do those all remotely and give you all of the information that you need. So it's always very, very interesting to see what comes up if you've got energies, negative thought forms, spirits or things hanging around in your property that is I guess blocking your energy or blocking your abundance stepping forward. So I absolutely love that. I have my healing space in Backers Marsh, so I do both online and in-person healings. So Reiki, crystal healing, theta healing, intuitive healing, the whole shebang. So I just love working with people. But reach out. I'd love to get to know everyone. So
perfect. And I put a link as well to Candace's contacts in the show notes as well as in the comments here. And I am Lauren Grace, and I would love for you to join me for Master Your Mindset, a 21-day challenge to a more confident you. And this is a challenge that I've created that is really to help you to grow in confidence, to get clear of the messages that you're telling yourself on a regular basis so that you can start to grow more confident, so that you can live the life that you choose. Because when we are succumbed by fear and succumbed by worry, it can be very detrimental to our advancement. Not only that, when we aren't aware of how to nurture our soul or our body, how to reprogram our thoughts, cut our energy cords, the importance of loving the environment that we're living with, letting things go. These are all things that I'm going to take you through over the 21 days. Every day you have a new audio download from me and a new exercise in your workbook, which is given to you as well. It's a free 50-page full color workbook that you get with the program. So I really take you from, you know, where you are to where you want to be. And Candace, you're in it right now. Are you enjoying it?
I'm loving it. Absolutely. It's really amazing. And it's beautiful to have that everyday kind of accountability over that 21-day period. So I'm getting to the pointy end as well. So I'm very impressed with myself.
I'm very impressed with you too. So yeah, like she said,
my mindset must be changing because I was on the ball this morning when you threw to me.
You were sharp. I definitely credit that to the challenge.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you to our listener at home, and we will definitely see you again on May 8th. Hi. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave us a review where you listen to your podcasts and share it with your friends. Thank you. New episodes every Thursday.